Today's scripture is found in Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which to work to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his oxen or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from the bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for speaking into our lives by Scripture, by so many other ways. Have us keep open and vulnerable, in fact, before you, as you speak into our very souls, the very depth of our being, and give us new life through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and look at somebody. Look at somebody you haven't looked at before. If the person next to you has dozed off, gently wake them. We don't want anybody screaming out in fear or panic. And look them right in the eyes and just say, "It's about time." Some of you had some real vigor behind those words that you were sharing with that person. It's about time. I don't know if you've ever had to say that to someone. I don't know if you've had to offer that phrase again and again to someone. But, you know, sometimes our time frame and our schedule is different from those around us, from those in our homes, from those in our church. And sometimes our schedule is different from whose? God's. Absolutely. Reverend John Jewell offers this story of waiting in the emergency room. Anybody ever done that? "I was waiting my turn to see the emergency room doctor when a young mother came through the doors with her child, maybe 3 or 4 years old. The little girl was crying, and the woman who I took to be the child's mother was holding a bloody handkerchief over the little girl's mouth. She looked around frantically for someone to help and rushed to the desk and said, my daughter's been hurt and I need to see..." She was cut off in mid-sentence. "You need to take a seat and wait for one of the clerks to sign you in." "But my little girl was hit in the mouth by a..." She was interrupted again. "Please take a seat, ma'am. Someone will be with you shortly." Just then, the ER doctor walked in and said to the woman at the desk, "Shame on you. This little girl needs help right now." He motioned to the woman and the little girl and led them to an examining room. Reverend Jewell continues, "Briefly and guiltily, I wondered when my turn to see the doctor might come. But if I live to be 100 years old, I wonder if I will ever see another time when a person's pain so clearly wins out over the system's protocol. Shame on you. I love it. The physician was looking at a child's pain. The clerk was looking at a hospital's procedure. The scripture reading today is one that strikes us on many different levels. Jesus was teaching, and that was important. He was certainly at this time, at this very moment, known as a brilliant rabbi or teacher. There were few that could compare. And so when Jesus was teaching, when he was speaking, people tuned in and listened because they knew there was going to be something to take away, something worthwhile, something most likely life-changing, something different about this rabbi and this teacher. And people were paying attention. Just then, a woman with the spirit, it says in Scripture, that had crippled her for 18 years. She appeared. She shows up. And she was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When we think about our own journey, physically, we might not be bent over, but spiritually, maybe we are. Maybe we are only looking at the ground in front of us. Maybe we're only looking at our shoelaces as we walk around. Maybe we also need to be able to look around and see how God is at work in our lives, speaking into our very lives, opening ourselves to that newness that can only come through knowing God through Jesus Christ. Whenever you're only looking at the ground, whenever you're only looking down, sometimes looking to the side, maybe even taking in those around you every once in a while, you start becoming more and more focused on the path that you are creating rather than the path that God is leading you on. Have you ever been startled by that realization? Understanding, wow, this has been all about me. These have been my decisions based on myself rather than opening myself to how God is speaking into my life. And that can be startling. And yet, we don't need to feel guilty about that because we know that we're already forgiven. We're already forgiven. And God seeks for us at that very moment of realization, whenever it's been really all about us, and then all of a sudden we realize that, at that moment of realization, God is there. God is there with open arms to say, welcome home. God is there ready to speak into our lives and say, try this way instead. Speaking into our lives and guiding us into places where we can experience His grace and love and filling us intimately and powerfully. Not really sure why the woman appeared. Okay? Not really sure why the woman appeared there in the synagogue. But she did. And what happened next is something that, let's say, stirred up a hornet's nest. Have you ever stirred up a hornet's nest? Either figuratively or actually or, yeah, okay. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? Jesus calls her over. She's not, well, at least from what the scripture says, she's not looking for Jesus. But Jesus calls her over. Jesus initiates the action. How true is that also for us in working in the workings of our heart and our spiritual journey? God initiates the action in our lives. It's not like we have to cry out and say, "Where are you, God?" God is already present. This is another reminder of that. Jesus initiating the action in this woman's life, specifically calling her over, laying hands on her. Immediately, she was healed. She was able to praise God. That's also something that we can learn from this scripture as well, that whenever an answer to prayer occurs, whenever we're surprised by God, not simply to kind of continue on our journey and say, "Okay, God, I'll get back to you when I need you again," but rather, "Thank you. Thank you, God, for speaking into my life. Wow, you did it again. You surprised me. Thank you for your love. I love you." Just a simple prayer like that. But you know, I don't know if I can say this reverently, but I'm going to give it a shot anyways. Jesus was ornery. Did you know that? I mean, there were things that he was doing that he knew were going to stir up the powers that be. No question about it. I mean, there are things that he was doing that were going to stir up those who were in power. This is no exception. The leader of the synagogue, in other words, the one who had power in an earthly sense, in a worldly sense, was indignant. "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." Now, in the Old Testament, okay, we talk about resting on the Sabbath. We talk about taking a Sabbath day. We talk about not working on the Sabbath. Some people feel that the preachers only work 1 hour on the Sabbath, and the rest of the week they're just kind of hanging out and they're available or drinking coffee, or some of you are nodding your head. Watch yourself there. So back in the amen corner there. But the Old Testament concept of Sabbath urges Israel, the people of God, to rest from all work because God crowns creation. I like that image. Crowns creation. Like literally God putting a crown on creation, saying it is good. And in fact, it is good. With a holy day of rest. The Lord rests from the work of creation to bless and consecrate the Sabbath. And therefore, the people of God should rest also in honor of that. However, there's another complementary text from the Old Testament where the Sabbath commandment commands the people of the covenant, and that means all of us, therefore, to observe the day and keep it holy in recognition of the deliverance from slavery in Egypt. In the later emphasis on Sabbath, hear this, observance and the practice of holiness, the people undertake a holy work. Did you realize that? That's also scriptural as well. Not simply, hey, rest on the Sabbath, but on the Sabbath day as the people of God to take on a holy work. And that's why as Jesus was doing this, as Jesus was healing this woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he was following Scripture. He was adhering to what we are called to do. And he is being a witness to all of us as well. Understand something. It was a woman. She was unclean. 18 years. 18 years. She was outside of being able to be nurtured emotionally, physically, spiritually, And yet Jesus notices this daughter of Abraham. That's what he calls her. That's what he answers those who would say, listen, you shouldn't be doing this. Jesus says, this is a child of God, just like any of you. And she is worthy of grace, just like any of you. And she is loved by God, just like any of you. And he says that to those who are in power, helping them to remember that they are not the ones in control. God is. You see, there's a whole new way of doing things whenever we recognize that it's God who is in control. Inflammatory, going right up against the powers that be and shaking that hornet's nest? Absolutely. But that was part of what Jesus was called to do. To give us a deeper understanding that God doesn't work in the ways that we can imagine. God works in ways beyond our imagination. God works in ways of incredible love. God works in ways of incredible power. God works in ways that we can't even imagine, that we never will be able to imagine. Today, we are called to think about ways in which we are bent over spiritually. Ways in which we are holding on to something that God is calling us to let go. Because Jesus is speaking our names today. Imagine that. Think about that. Jesus speaking your name, calling you, laying hands on you, receiving. Imagine him actually laying hands on you, taking whatever that is from you, taking it, receiving it. From that encounter with Jesus, you're experiencing newness in God's love in a holy and powerful way. We are inheritors this morning, my friends, of the gift of healing of the bent-over woman who stood up straight and began praising God. You know, people in recent years and many Christians have begun to, take on Sabbath keeping in a more diligent way. And in Sabbath keeping, I mean, they've taken a particular day whenever they really drop the schedule, okay? They put down the phone. Maybe they don't even look at their smartphone for an entire day. They don't pick up their tablet for an entire day. They don't answer the phone. They don't look at email. And they simply seek to be attuned to how God speaks into their life. Now, the problem with that is if your Bible's on your tablet or on your smartphone, I guess you're going to have to look at it, right? Reading it today. That's okay. But Sabbath is a time of truly understanding that God is seeking to fill us. The leader, the synagogue, the Pharisees, those who were in power, wanted to try to control people. That's why they were complaining about what Jesus did. And let's face it, again and again in Scripture, when people complained about what Jesus did, oftentimes it was those who had power, okay, in a worldly sense, and they were complaining about what Jesus did because what Jesus did gave people freedom. It opened them to be the people that God really wanted them to be. The powers that be wanted to control people, wanted to dominate them, wanted to have their thumb on them at all times. Sabbath keeping, or kind of getting rid of some of the stuff that keeps us mindful of our own schedule rather than God's schedule or calendar or plan in our life, allows us to soak in and to hear and to receive. And also, just maybe be healed ourselves. ourselves. Kaya, new life, is something that I was excited to be able to wear this morning. Because I think about some of the young women and young men, teenagers that we've worked with who are incarcerated. And I think about one particular sister in Christ, young woman, who in her life had to undergo such trauma, such isolation. I compare her to the woman who was healed in the scripture passage today. I compare her to that woman because in many ways she was isolated. She could have easily felt outside of God's grace from the abuse, from the neglect that she had to face. As a foster child, even one time, she told me this story that will always be carried in my memory, of not being allowed to eat with the rest of the family at the table, but having to eat on the floor out of a bowl like a dog. And it's very easy to really wonder how such a person could even think about God and not be angry and frustrated and say, God, where are you? But this young sister in Christ was able to receive healing from the touch of Jesus in her life, eventually become a helper, ministering to other girls who are locked up, reaching out to them. Isn't that a phenomenal story of healing? If you think healing only happened in biblical times, you're uninformed. Healings happen today as well. This young sister in Christ, coming out of such darkness and isolation and brokenness, being brought into that love and being able to understand that she's loved. She is loved, and God is at work in her, is a wonderful, wonderful reminder to me that God is inviting each of us to receive that grace, to come forward, to be touched by Jesus, to hear His voice in our lives. What do you need to be healed of? What in your life needs to be offered over to God? What needs to be shared? These moments of prayer, offer it to God. Open yourself to that touch of Christ in your life. Know that He's speaking words of healing and grace and incredible love to you specifically by name. He's calling you out by name, just like He called out that woman. He's doing that now because He loves you more than you can imagine. Be open to receiving that touch of grace right now.